Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Revelation. Join me in your Bibles, or if you didn't bring one, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you. And I'll be reading chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." And he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The first church that I served was up the street in Yazoo City. It was 25 years ago. And when I first arrived there, they told me that all of their ministers had to wear robes. I said, "That's great. There's just one problem. I don't have one." They said, "Don't worry." So a week later, this robe showed up. And I've been wearing it ever since. They got me to wearing this robe. And I wasn't too excited about it at first. You know, it's kind of like a guy having to learn to walk in a dress. I mean, I challenge any of you men to come put this robe on after the service and walk up these steps. You know, you learn you kind of got to pick it up a little bit so you don't step on the fringes of it. But it's gotten, you know, something that I'm certainly used to by now. I've tried to grow into this in more ways than one over the years. And I certainly appreciate this robe now. But there's a reason why clergy wear robes. I suppose it's to cover me up so you don't see me so much. And when you think about it, that's really the way it should be. It's not about me. The role that I am in worship, it's not about me so much as it is about being a servant of God. And it's not my words that are important to hear, necessarily, as much as it is God's word, God's message. And so the robe is to cause you to not focus your attention so much on me, the messenger, as opposed to the message. And that's why the robe is black. It's not some brightly colored robe. It's not purple. It's not green. It's black. It's to blend in, to be unseen, to not draw attention. And you know, when you think about clothing, the clothes that we wear are very important. They send a message, don't they? Some clothes are functional. Like, for instance, some of y'all know that I was out on vacation last week. I was riding my bicycle, and you wouldn't want me showing up here wearing the same thing I was wearing last week. It would be totally inappropriate. But out traversing the Ozark Mountains and all of those things, you know, biking shorts are perfectly fitting attire. Nobody looks at you funny when you're riding a bike with biking shorts, but put a robe on and get on a bicycle, you might get a few eyeballs. Show up to church wearing biking shorts, you might be asked to leave. I don't know, especially if you're the pastor. So, but clothes mean something. You know, I spend a lot of time in the hospital, and I see, you know, some folks wearing white coats. You know, who wears a white coat in a hospital? It's a doctor, right? You have to earn that. They don't just hand those out to anyone. But it sends a message. You know, we have a police officer, Andrew Pitts, who's one of our church members. He shows up around here wearing his uniform. Totally appropriate. We know that he's here to keep everyone safe and to help people to find their way around our campus. You know, so clothes are important. They mean something. They send a message. And that's what I want to focus on for just a moment with this text. You know, the book of Revelation is a rather strange book, isn't it? I mean, it has all of this imagery and symbolism that we don't really understand in the context of our world today. John sees all kinds of interesting things in his vision. He sees locusts with human faces and with women's hair. They're wearing golden crowns. He sees these beasts with seven heads and 10 horns and all of these strange things. And in the 7th chapter that we came to a moment ago, John sees this huge crowd of people that are gathered around the throne of God in heaven. And among that crowd of people, there are folks there from every nation, every tribe, every language represented on the earth. John says that crowd is so great that nobody could count it. Well, I'm not a very smart person, but I know if you give me enough time, I should be able to count anything, right? I mean, you just count. But John says this crowd of people can't be counted. It's beyond counting. What John tells us about this crowd is he doesn't describe how tall they are. He doesn't tell us how old or young they are. I always want to know that question. You know, what's our heaven age? I don't know. But John, he doesn't tell us that here. Out of all the stuff that John could tell us to describe this multitude of people, there's one thing he tells us: what they're wearing. And what is it that every person in that crowd is wearing? Ryan, stand up. Yes, Ryan, stand up. Come out here and show everybody what you're wearing this morning. You look very, yes, you look very great there. What's he wearing? A white robe. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, buddy. John says everybody in that crowd is wearing one of those robes. Clothes are important because they mean something. And every person is wearing the same thing. The preachers and the teachers and the chimney sweepers. Everybody in between. There is no distinction. John says that these people are wearing those robes because they belong to Jesus Christ. They have been washed, he says, in the blood of the Lamb. Now, when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time hanging out around a laundromat. Y'all know what a laundromat is? Some of you do. It was a place downtown Vardaman, Mississippi. Okay, so imagine I'm about five, six, 7 years old, and we didn't have a washer and dryer in our home. So we would have to go once a week. Usually it was on Sunday afternoons. My mom would load up of time wandering around, you know, doing what little boys do, kick trees and rocks and chase squirrels and, you know, run around. I did not really enjoy going to the laundromat that much, but mom would always give me a quarter to go next door to the person that sold Coca-Colas. So I always got a Coke. So that was a treat. You know, those big exhaust vents that stick out the side of the building? From the dryers, I remember spending a lot of time out there in the wintertime in front of those dryer vents. I remember how huge those washers and dryers were. I remember those hard plastic chairs lining certain parts of the walls and how I didn't enjoy sitting in them at all. But I also remember how hard my mom worked to keep our clothes clean. You know, I don't care what kind of stain I got on my clothes, she could get it out. I don't know how she did it, but she could put those things in that washing machine and they would come out, you know, just really clean. If it was white, they were always bright white. My mom always said, "We may not have much, but what we have, we take care of." And I may not always have the best, most fancy clothes, but they were going to be clean. And I'm sure you grew up in that same type of environment. Well, this crowd of people in Revelation has had their clothes washed bright white too. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, anybody that has experience with laundry knows that you can't wash something in red and expect it to come out white. If somebody did that, they would probably be asked not to do the laundry anymore. Wait a minute. Debbie's sitting back there. Maybe I need to mess up a load of laundry, then I wouldn't be asked to do it anymore. But instead of turning their robes red, John says it made them white, spotless, beautiful. Y'all, what this passage is trying to communicate to us is the robes are a metaphor. The robes are a metaphor for our souls. And the blood of the Lamb is another metaphor that represents the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. It represents all that Jesus went through in dying for our sins. Think about the cross and everything associated with that cross. It's wrapped up in that imagery of the blood of the Lamb. John is saying that when the blood of Jesus gets applied to our souls, we are made truly clean no matter how stained we are. The Lord knows that we have a lot of stains. There's a lot of filth. There's a lot of dirtiness upon our souls. There is in our hearts pride. There's anger. There's greed. There's deceitfulness, there's dishonesty, there's unforgiveness. All of these things lurk and stain the soul. It doesn't matter what stains you carry or I carry. When we bring our sins to Jesus through our confession and our repentance, we're washed in God's grace. We're made completely clean. There is not a spot that remains. That is the only way, John says, that we can be with God and stand before the presence of a holy God is to be cleansed. So John sees in his vision of heaven, God sitting there on his throne, and there are all these concentric circles of people around that throne. The innermost circle are the angels. And then beyond that, there's the elders. And then beyond that is the gospel writers, the four creatures, the ones that have given witness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And then from there out are all these other circles of people from every tribe and nation. And what are they all doing? What are every one of these people doing? They are worshiping God. They are falling on their faces before a holy and perfect God. And they are crying out. Every voice, every language is crying out the same thing. Salvation! Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They are all giving testimony to the same truth, that God alone is holy. God alone deserves blessing and honor and power and glory. God alone is the source of our salvation. God alone. Y'all, the Israelites knew this. They knew this. I bet you wondered, where does Exodus fit into this? Well, let me just read something to you. Exodus 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. Y'all know that story? It's the story of the Passover. And before God leads the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, there's the 10th plague that God sends upon Egypt as a judgment. And to the Israelites, God says, put the blood of a lamb around your door frame of your house. And at night, the angel of the Lord is going to come through the land. And with every home that blood is not applied over, God will inflict judgment in the form of the death of the firstborn child. But the Israelites applied the blood. Probably some Egyptians may have done it too. And when the angel passes by, sees the blood, just keeps on going. And then God led the Israelites out of Egypt. And so they were to remember this night in the form of the Passover feast. So once a year, the families would gather and they would eat a meal together. And they would remember that God had delivered them through the blood of that lamb. Now fast forward many, many centuries later, and we have experienced something very similar. You see, to every heart, every soul, every life that has applied the blood of Jesus, they pass from death to life, from darkness to light. And that, y'all, is what John is seeing here, is the crowd of people who have the blood of Christ applied to their lives. The judgment of God has been placed upon Jesus on the cross. He has taken the penalty of our judgment. He has substituted our death. And through that, we are brought out of slavery and bondage to sin, and God is going to bring us into the marvelous kingdom of heaven. Y'all, this is what is represented by those new, clean, white robes. We can each be washed in forgiveness and mercy. We can be made clean. We can be made spotless. Every stain removed. And God knows we have our stains. But through the cross of Jesus, those stains are washed clean. And we're able to stand before a holy God, pure and spotless. Will this be your testimony? When you see that crowd, do you see yourself in it? Will you be there?